The numbers that get discussed and used in running a state's budget are big ones, but they still have to add up. Both Oregon and California, like most states, require balanced budgets. And whether we're talking millions or billions of dollars, the numbers have to ultimately make sense. And it really helps when all of us have access to the numbers to see for ourselves how state money is being spent. Each one of the 50 states got a ranking on its spending transparency in a recent report put out by the public interest research groups across the country. Osberg is the group in Oregon. Oregon's state government got a B-. California got an F. Charlie Fisher is the state director for Osberg in Oregon, and he's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Charlie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Could you remind people what Osberg does and what the other public interest research groups do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Osberg is a grassroots organization that advocates on behalf of the public in a variety of issues, from public health to government transparency and good government, to making sure that people have access to health care that actually comports with how much they're paying. So it's a pretty broad-based organization, but our core is the public needs an advocate in places where decisions are being made, and we try to be that advocate.
How long has spending transparency been part of the mix of what Osberg does?
So this is actually our eighth version of this report. So it's been around for a while. And, you know, we just think that transparency promotes fiscal responsibility and empowers citizens to hold their elected officials accountable. And, I mean, our state perennially is facing difficult budget choices, and Oregonians should just be able to see how each dollar is spent.
I noticed it is the eighth version. Are these annual, though, or is it more of an irregular kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a little less than annual, but we've been doing them, I think, since 2010 or earlier.
All right. So over the time that the reports have been coming out, have the states done much to improve? And we'll get into Oregon specifically in a moment, but just in general, have the states done things to improve their transparency?
Yeah, they really have. And I think I would note on this particular report and in our reports that we've done over the years, we continuously try to raise the bar so that states can't just rest on their laurels after having implemented the things that we suggested years ago. But over the years, yeah, we have seen by now nearly every state in the country has what we call a checkbook level spending on their website for how government spending or where money is going and what the decisions that are made are. So we've seen a lot of improvement, but obviously, as this report suggests, there's more room to go.
Well, it's interesting you raised the bar. So in other words, the states might have actually gotten an A on the criteria you had in that first report. But you made it harder.
To their consternation, I'm sure. So actually, Oregon got 100% in the previous report that we did and was moved down to 81 out of 100 this year. And that's mostly because this time we focused, in addition to whether the information was there, we also looked at how user-friendly it was and how in kind of a real-world situation people would be able to find information that they wanted to. And unfortunately, while the information is there on Oregon's website and has been for a while, this real-world test, as we call it, that we did, Oregon didn't do so well.
So let's explore that concept you mentioned, checkbook-level transparency. That seems to be one of the places in which Oregon lacks by the criteria you set here. So what does that mean, checkbook-level transparency?
Yeah, well, so actually Oregon does pretty well on the checkbook-level transparency. essentially what we want is you can search by agency, you can search by category of expense and who is paid. So basically we want to see as if you're looking at your own household budget, you can see where the money is going, how much it is going, and which category is potentially taking up the most, the biggest chunk of the budget.
All right. So so Oregon is pretty good at letting you know what's going on. I mean, are you really getting down to what individual checks are? Is it that specific?
Yeah, it's really each invoice. So I guess to dig into the real world test, which I think might be able to illuminate some of this, chose six expenditures that we would want to, that we think are basic expenditures that a citizen should be able to find out by looking on their website. And then we had a focus group attempt to find out this information in a limited amount of time. One example of this is the governor's office expenditures on travel. And so when you look at that, there are individual people that are reimbursed for mileage or tickets purchased for plane flights and things like that. So it's really a pretty granular level of information. However, in Oregon, it's a little bit difficult to navigate. Just looking at the governor's travel example, there are 13 different subcategories for travel, including 4 separate categories for different kinds of mileage reimbursement. On top of that, there's no subtotaling function, so if I wanted to find out how much the governor's office spent on travel last year, I would literally have to get a calculator and add up the hundreds of individual expenses listed on the website. And in order to find each category, I would have to scroll through a small pop-up that makes it difficult to quickly read the full name of any category over 15 letters. So the information is there, and we applaud the state for putting it up, but we think that in this modern age where people have an increasing expectation of their ability to find information quickly on the Internet, state transparency websites should keep up with that.
So if it had that subtotaling function, might Oregon have gotten a straight B or better?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head exactly how many points that was responsible for. I think they probably would have gotten maybe 3 or 4 more points. Mm-hmm. What they really failed was the real-world test, where essentially our focus group was unable to find any of the information in the time allotted.
We're talking about state spending transparency. Oregon got a B- from the public interest research groups across the country. California got an F. Charlie Fisher is the Osberg State Director for Oregon. You can join the conversation with your questions and comments about the kinds of things you can look for and find in Oregon state spending. 800-838-3760 to join by phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. I do like the idea of this real-world test, though. So you're talking about not experts, just people you assembled in a focus group and said, go do this and see what you can find?
Yep, exactly. In fact, one of the quotes from the focus group on Oregon was, I really don't think my mom would be able to do this. So I think that's kind of the baseline. If somebody who isn't especially technologically savvy, not to say that many moms are very technologically savvy, then it's not really living up to what it should be offering for citizens.
So, Charlie, we should let people know that who haven't gone and looked for it, Oregon actually has a site called Oregon Transparency, opening state governments to everyone. Is
yep.
that in itself better than a lot of states provide?
Yeah, well, I mean, by our grade, we have done quite well over the years. And, I mean, if you look at some of the worst states, let's see, what are the worst states?
Go on, say California.
Like Hawaii, Alaska, California. California, for example, doesn't even offer the checkbook level data on its transparency website. And so we are miles ahead of some states. But, I mean, I guess this is we should not rest on our laurels. And I know how much we love to be ahead of California. So I think we should continue to push the envelope.
So 4 states flunked, I should point out, of the 50. And it's Wyoming, Alaska,
yep.
California, and Hawaii. So, So wow, is it hard to flunk this test? I mean, obviously 4 states got in that category. It's, you know, not a lot of them.
Well, I mean, it's easy to flunk the test if you don't do the work. So, you know, most of the states have done that, and we're really happy to see that. But if the information isn't there, then you're not going to get a good grade.
So, the idea of transparency sites, though, is this getting a more common thing? I mean, you mentioned that California even has that; it just doesn't have some of the checkbook level stuff you're looking for.
Yeah. Since we've done this report, the vast majority of states have implemented state transparency websites, and the vast majority have also put the information that we asked them to put on them. It's just a matter of user friendliness, and I think one additional tidbit is, you know, we actually heard feedback from a lot of state agencies and state elected officials saying that the transparency website actually has helped save money for the state. So, for example, Wisconsin's Department of Administration states that its Open Book Wisconsin Transparency Portal has given state agencies previously unavailable insight into IT costs. On top of that, Ohio, which got an A grade, and I would recommend people, if they want to dig into this, go to ohiocheckbook.com. They have a vendors that do business with the state of Ohio have actually reported using this tool as a business analytics tool, which has allowed them to determine whether they can offer a state agency a better deal than they're currently getting. So, you know, we really think not only is this good for transparency itself and for citizens' ability to be able to make informed decisions, it also potentially will save the state money.
Given that this has been going on, you said, since 2010, I just wonder how much chafing there might have been at the states at the beginning of the process, because while they do know there are requirements for public business to be in front of the public, this is still a lot of basically walking around the house without a towel.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Yeah, and I think they had to set up the infrastructure in the first place. And, you know, if you're in government, I think your first inclination is not to be as transparent as the public would want you to be. And so, yeah, to begin with, I think it was a certain amount of pulling teeth. But once states saw that it wasn't really that hard, and in fact increases people's trust in the government and might even save the state money, I think those things made it a much easier sell for them to take the step forward here.
State spending transparency, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. In the recent report from the Public Interest Research Groups, Oregon got a B-, California got an F. We're talking to Charlie Fisher, the Osberg State Director for Oregon, and here is Tom in Jackson County. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
What's happening with the lottery proceeds? When that first came out, it was going to take care of our schools and a number of other things.
All right. So where's the money going? And then is everything available for view? I should ask that through the Oregon State Transparency website.
Yeah. So I wouldn't speak to the decisions made in terms of where lottery money is going, but for people who want to know that, it is available on the website.
All right. The report does point out that states do pay for many things, including tractor pulls at state fairs and tax breaks for filming of TV shows. So is any of the reporting based on choices made in spending, or is it just about how well you can see those choices made in spending?
I think people can draw their own conclusions about the merits of particular choices. And certainly we have views on various versions of that as well. But at least when it comes to this, we think as a baseline, regardless of how people feel about how government money should be allocated, the information about that should be available to everyone. Ultimately that should inform how people vote. It should inform how decision makers allocate money. But if you don't have the information to begin with, then it's very hard to really make those informed decisions.
So you mentioned that this is not a case of like, well, you met the standards this year, you might meet them again next year or next time we do this. It's really a case of, okay, we've upgraded the criteria now. You have higher standards to meet, and this is why you can see Oregon dropping from, did you say Oregon got 100 last time?
Yeah, correct.
Then got an 81 this time. So went from A plus to B minus. So yeah, I had a couple quarters like that in school myself. Are they aware of the fact that this gets a little more stringent over time? Do you expect more of them?
So actually, I would be remiss if I didn't say how good it has been to work with people both in the state agencies that deal with this issue and with legislators who have been really willing to make this a priority. So, there's a lot of cynicism in politics these days, but I'm actually fairly optimistic that we'll see the state of Oregon implement many of the recommendations that we are putting forward, because they have in the past, and they've been proactive about really taking our report seriously and doing everything they can to implement those recommendations. I think with the as I said, the budget that is always a problem, the making sure that there's enough funding to really maintain an A-plus website is going to be the big problem. But given the amount of bipartisan support for this idea, I am cautiously optimistic that we'll actually be able to get many of these recommendations implemented.
So while we look at the transparency website for Oregon, can we take a look and figure out how much Oregon is spending on transparency websites? Is it that specific?
So we asked that question, and the Oregon response was it's just part of the budget of the operating budget of the I think it's the technology agency.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would assume, and I didn't do this, but that if you went into the checkbook level spending of that particular agency, you'd be able to see the invoices to any companies that were involved in setting up the website and things like that. So, yeah, it really is. I would recommend people look at it because it's at first kind of overwhelming given how much information there is, but it's a really useful tool.
I was going to ask you about the overwhelming part. It sounds like you could easily spend years looking at the stuff in there for any one budget cycle.
Very true. But I think it's really important to note that if you look at other states, Ohio, I mentioned them before, but their website compared to ours is just a completely different world. It's very easy. You go on the website, and it looks much more modern than ours does. It's very easy for people to search based on various categories and it's just much more user-friendly and intuitive than ours. So there are examples out there that are maybe not as overwhelming and brain-numbing as ours are, and so we think that, you know, this should be something that a regular person could go to and spend 15 minutes and find the information they wanted.
Charlie, there's a special sidebar on the report about spending transparency of all the states that that looks at the issue of posting government salaries to the public. What has become the issue there?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I think it's an issue of balancing between the privacy of people who work in government and the need for the public to know how much government employees are being paid. And so, you know, that's a difficult question to wrestle with, and you know, we don't have a perfect answer, but one thing that many states do is, as opposed to listing the salaries of everyone, they list the salary of the top 5 or 10 people in each agency, or the average of each class of employees. So, you know, we're cognizant of the fact that these are people working in government, and we don't, and they should have at least some amount of privacy, but at the same time, citizens should be able to know whether the director of a particular agency is getting paid way more than they should be.
All right, so below the director level, though, is it more or less this class of employee rather than this particular person is getting the salary?
Yeah, it really depends on which website. And, you know, we didn't include how exactly it was in the report because we really don't have we don't have a strong feeling about exactly how it works, but the information in some capacity should be there.
All right, so who do you send this to when you're finished?
In
Oregon, who do you send this to?
So there's actually a transparency commission of which I'm a member that includes, I think, a dozen members of the public in addition to legislators, which since, I think, 2013 has been providing recommendations to the legislature, largely based on our reports, what they can do to improve transparency. So they were the first people I sent it to. I got good feedback. In fact, I have several meetings with legislators in coming weeks to talk about what they can do. And, you know, like I said, it's been great working with them because this is a group that actually believes in transparency. And it's something that brings people together across political aisles. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we can get something done.
All right. The report is called Following the Money 2018, How the 50 States Rate in Providing Online Access to Government Spending Data. It's from the Public Interest Research Groups. Charlie Fisher is the Osberg State Director for Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.